And welcome to Living Beyond Limits. You all know I'm Reverend Jennifer Spear, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. Welcome. Who knew it was going to rain? I had no idea. So welcome in the little bit of rain we're having. And for those of you who are joining us online, welcome to our service. And so I love that ending. How can I serve? How can I serve? How can I serve? Because doesn't that just speak to our mission statement? I love it. So let's read that together. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So what does that mean to be a beneficial presence in the world? You know, I think that means that wherever we go, we take good with us. Whether that looks like being the presence of love or kindness or generosity or care or inclusion. I think it means lots of different things in lots of different moments. But what I do know is that as we awaken to our own divine nature, that becomes more automatic to be that presence, to be that activity in the world of sharing our spirit, sharing our peace and our love and our kindness and our good, because God is synonymous with good, and therefore that good always resides within us. And so as we do that, yes, we participate in our own evolution, and because we are connected to everyone and everything, we actually assist, uplift, help move humanity in the direction of that impulse of spirit to unfold itself also. And so I thank every one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path and to be bringing your own spirit, which is none other than an expression of spirit itself, into this world. Thank you for that. So we have been participating in the Season for Nonviolence here at Living Beyond Limits, which is actually 64 days of talking about and looking at ways and creating a greater awareness of ways to create peace. And so the Association for Global New Thought is one of the sponsors of the Season for Nonviolence, and I was reading something that they had put out this week that had suggestions of different things to do as a way to create peace. And one of them began with a quote by Gandhi, who said, "My life is my message." How about that? My life is my message. Then with the suggestion to write down one thing that you stand for. One thing, spiritual principle, or one thing as a spiritual being that you stand on and that you stand for. And then to note one of the ways that you can show that you stand for that through your actions. And then to actually take action this week and to do something that shows that that is what you stand for and what you stand on. And so what do you stand for? I'd love to hear from you. What do you stand for? What is that thing that is so important to you that motivates you and that you stand on as a part of your spiritual path? Kindness? Anyone? Peace of mind, acceptance, goodwill, authenticity. Fairness. Say it again.
Fairness.
Compassion and fairness. Anyone else?
Connection
and love. Nice. Community. Oh, that's nice. Me? I stand for oneness, and I stand for unity. And so I am on an email list from an organization called Braver Angels, and I've shared some things with you before. They are a citizens organization that is focused on uniting red and blue Americans and depolarizing America. And so this email that came out was from Lee Sargent, who is the public discourse chief of staff at Braver Angels. It says, with artificial intelligence tools making it easier to rely on a computer's expertise, it's worth asking, where is it better to do something myself, even if it means I won't do it as well as artificial intelligence? I recently wrote a piece for Deseret where I counseled picking one hard thing to embrace in 2023. As I wrote, quote, an amateur works on a skill because she loves something about how grappling with the problem changes her. Sketching as an artist won't produce Instagrammable works of art, but it will change how you look at the world. Cooking as an amateur will produce some noble failures, but it will also show you how flavors blend and how to alter recipes to your own taste. But one of the best things to do as an amateur is to reach across the political divide. Depolarizing America is a task we can't outsource to experts. It requires us to change, individual by individual. You can sign up for a workshop, or you can speak at a debate. But you can also do just a little baking and knock on the door of a neighbor who has a lawn sign that you disagree with. Loving your neighbor as an amateur means mixing some approaches that you're confident about and some that feel like a bigger risk, which might well fail on the first try. Even when you struggle or flounder, you're reminding yourself and your neighbor that you think it's important enough to try. Many Americans have had bad conversations about politics online, but many of us haven't had any conversations, good or bad, with the neighbor because it feels too risky. But, quote, better safe than sorry leaves our country on its current course toward fracture. When things are already going downhill, the safest thing to do is take a risk for the sake of changing your trajectory. It takes practice to believe that risks can pay off. As we grow up, adults get into the habit of staying within the lines of what we're already good at. But when I watch my little girls, I can see they're fearless about being bad at the things that they attempt. More of the world is open to them because they are oriented toward what is difficult for them, while many adults learn to orient themselves away from what are our own weaknesses. As I concluded in Deseret, it's the small experience of being bad at things repeatedly and finding something of worth on the other side that lets us trust it's worth struggling when the stakes are high. Your neighbor may be counting on you specifically, even if they don't know your name, for proof that depolarizing isn't a task best left to experts. Each of us is prepared for this work as long as we're willing to take the risk of struggling or looking silly. When we extend ourselves in love, our efforts are never wasted, even if an individual conversation goes badly. We still benefit from the practice of loving our particular neighbor, developing an artist's eye that finds them beautiful because we have paused to look. What I really like about that article the most is it says you can just do some baking and go knock on a neighbor's door who has a yard sign that you disagree with. Because that says to me, I don't have to have a conversation about the thing that we don't agree about. But what I do need to do is to step across the divide, to step beyond our differences toward our sameness. What I can do is have a conversation from the consciousness that we both belong to this one human family and that we are both a part of this one human family. I can bake cookies. I can look for what we have in common. I can have a conversation that's easy, not something about what we don't agree on. I can compliment them on the flowers they're growing in their yard, or compliment them on their dog, or talk about how beautiful the clouds are. I can have an easy conversation. Because what happens when I'm willing to have an easy conversation with that person who sees things differently than I do, is it allows the walls to come down that I have built around my heart. The walls that you have built around your heart. It allows those walls to come down. That is how we move into oneness. That is how we move into unity with each other. Not that we're going to resolve and solve the differences in how we see things, but that we're going to come together regardless of if we have differences of opinion. And so the problem really is that our egos tell us they aren't safe. Our ego tells us we are on two opposing teams, and because of that, this just isn't safe. And then that fear of otherness causes us to build up walls around our hearts. So the problem isn't that we disagree. The problem is that we have put them on the outside. The problem is that we have made them other and they don't belong. At our deepest level, we want to live in a world of unity. At our deepest level, we want to live in a world that works for everyone. We want to live in a world where differences aren't a threat, but instead they're simply one aspect of the diversity of humanity. They're one aspect of a part of oneness. We want to experience our own humanity, and we want to experience our own hearts, and we want to experience our own spirits. We want to be a catalyst for good, hence our mission statement, to be a beneficial presence, and we want to live in unity. And so Ernest Holmes said, "We arrive at a consciousness of unity only in such degree as we see that which we are looking for, we are looking with." That means it's an inside job. That's talking about that law of correspondence, that the outside world corresponds to our thinking and our belief and our attitudes and our focus. That the outside world responds to our consciousness. That's what we see, and that's what we experience. And so I watched a show that's called This Is Life by Lisa Ling. I absolutely adore her. I don't know if you know, she does, I don't know if they're exposés, they're stories about Americans and the way things are and the experiences that people go through and the difficulties and all sorts of things. I watched one show that was called Interracial Love. And it was about people that are in interracial relationships. And so that particular episode explored three different stories of people. And one of the stories that it looked at was this young couple who were college age who'd fallen in love. And they were both of the Baha'i faith. And so what I learned is that the Baha'i faith believes that we all worship the same God, regardless of what religion. And at their mosque, they have the Star of David, and they have the cross, and they have the moon and star of Islam, that we all worship the same God. They also believe in the oneness of humanity. The Baha'i faith holds a vision for humanity of unity. They hold a high vision and have the intention of creating peace in our world. And so one of the ways that they believe that we are going to create unity in this world and create a world of peace is to create a world where there is no other, where no one is on the outside. And so what they do in their religion is they want to bring people together from different races, from different belief systems, from different walks of life. They talk about that race is a human construct. And they believe that peace will be created by erasing racial barriers. So what they do in their religion is they actually encourage interracial relationships. Because when there is a relationship of people from two different cultures or two different races, is then there's a coming together of two different cultures. So the young man that was in this story, his mother is from India and his father is Pakistani. And the woman that was in the show, her mother is Asian and her father is Caucasian. And so here you have them coming together. And one of the things that was also interesting is to get married in the Baha'i faith, you have to have the approval of your parents. Because they see it not just as the coming together of two cultures in that couple, but it's about the coming together of two families also. And they believe that as we come together like that, eventually no one is left on the outside. There is no other. Because we all come to know each other intimately and really discover that we really are all one. Buckminster Fuller said, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." So if we want to experience oneness and unity, if we want to actuate heaven within us and heaven around us, we have to create a new model. And so two of the principles, the core principles of the Science of Mind, of Centers for Spiritual Living, are the principles of oneness and the principle of heaven. And so the principle of oneness says that there is one infinite presence. That thing that we call God, spirit, life, universal spirit, whatever it is that we call it. And it expresses in and through and as everything. And therefore everything is a part of that one. That means that you are a part of spirit. And that I am a part of spirit. And so is that person we name other a part of spirit. It also means that every situation and circumstance in our life is also within spirit. And the second principle in our teachings is about heaven. And it says that heaven is not a place, but instead heaven is a state of consciousness. Ernest Holmes says, heaven is the real state of being. Heaven is living in the awareness of our true nature. Heaven is filled with peace, harmony, joy, and an awareness of our oneness with all good. Ernest Holmes says, we experience heaven to the degree that we are conscious of it. And so that means then, to me, that we seek to know our true nature, and we seek to know the true nature of others, of every individual. And so if our desire then is to make heaven real, wherever it is we are, that means then that we live in an awareness of our true nature. And it means that we recognize that the other also has that same true nature. And so the title of my talk today is The World is an Oyster. Reverend Beverly Strutt says, the oyster, the sand, and the pearl. The very basic concept shows how a grain of sand entering an oyster can be transformed into a magnificent pearl. The irritant ignites the oyster into action to relieve this discomfort it is feeling. It intuitively uses that which is already present in its environment to alter the irritant. We too can choose, we too can transform our world and the world around us by addressing that which is causing discomfort in our lives. And we may find that what we need, we already have within us. Holmes tells us, the kingdom of heaven is the pearl of great price, for which a man may sell all that he has in order that he may possess it. And yet, it is the only thing that we had before we asked for it. It is the only thing that we possess and cannot lose. It is the only thing that is eternal, for it is God incarnated in every soul. The kingdom of heaven is already here. It's already right where we are. But it's ours to actuate it. It's ours to bring that forward into our world. And so I'm really talking about today that everything really is an opportunity for spiritual living. That everything is really an opportunity for a greater spiritual expression from within us. That everything is an invitation to bring heaven forward, right where we are, whatever's going on. And to live in the experience of oneness. Oneness with spirit, one with each other, one with the whole. And so is there something in your world right now that is irritating you like a grain of sand? Of course there is. Is there something or someone that you just want to push away? They are the other. Get them away from me. Bring that to mind for just a second, whatever that thing is that's that grain of sand inside of you. And you can close your eyes if you want to, because I'm going to ask you a question. The question is, what is it that you are believing that is causing your current actions or lack of actions? What is the belief? What are you believing that's causing your actions or lack of actions around that thing? Remember, that law of correspondence says that the outside corresponds with the inside. And so looking at that belief, what you're believing that's causing your actions or lack of actions, I want to ask you, is that thing you're believing true? And is what you're believing, is that the whole picture? And maybe you could tell yourself right there, if it's not the whole picture, what are maybe some other components of that picture? So I ask you, how can you create a greater sense of heaven right there? How can you create a greater sense of heaven right there? And is there something for you to do this week that enables you to do that? And so I invite you to open your eyes. And so what if the difficulties that are in your line of vision are really here for you to prove that love is bigger than this? What if those difficulties that are in your line of vision are there for you to know But oneness exists even when we don't see eye to eye. What if the difficulties that are in your line of vision are there so that you can see that in the midst of diversity, we are still one? To discover that heaven is possible and that we have the power to reveal heaven and to make it real in our lives. And so my invitation to you this week is to recognize who you are, to recognize who and what you are as a spiritual being, and to recognize who and what they are as a spiritual being, to recognize that we and they all contain the spiritual qualities of that infinite one, that we all contain the qualities of the divine, and that while we all contain the qualities of the divine, we are also complex human beings with frailties and with faults and with the goodness of God. And remember that spiritual principle that you stand for. What was it again? Remember the spiritual principles that you stand on, that you believe are important, that are part of your spiritual path. And let the things that irritate you be the grit to create the pearl inside of you and to create the pearl in life outside of you. Rumi said, "What strikes the oyster shell does not damage the pearl." That's still in you, even when things are rough out here. That pearl is there in potential, waiting to come forward. And so my invitation to you is to take one step this week, to do one thing this week that shows that you stand on that principle, shows that you are walking this spiritual path. Reach out, create a bridge, and the result is greater peace. For it is true that doing our spiritual work pays off in great dividends. And where we invest, that is where the great dividends pay off. And so blessings to each one of you on this spiritual path of discovering your own divine nature and bringing that into a world, into this world, in a way that blesses everyone. Thank you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so I just turn my attention to that truth that wherever we are, whatever is going on, that spirit is always right where we are. That all that spirit is right where we are. That means that all of the love and all of the peace, all of the wisdom and all of the intelligence, all of the good are always right where we stand. For that infinite presence is everywhere present. It is the only power, the only presence, the only one that is expressing itself as the whole. It was before time began and will be into eternity. And so I recognize that not only does that presence surround us and envelop us and carry us, but it also expresses itself within us. That it is the very nature of our own spirit. It is the very nature of our essence, our divine essence. And therefore, I know that those qualities and characteristics of that infinite one live within each one of us. For we are the microcosm of the macrocosm. Peace is right here. Wisdom and intelligence are right here. love and wholeness and beauty and joy and unity and oneness and heaven right here within us. And so today I know that we are each motivated and moved to bring that into the world in a way that is beneficial to the whole of humanity. For we are truly one, one in spirit, one in life, one family of humanity. And so I speak this word not just about our own unfolding and spiritual evolution and bringing good into this world, but I recognize that that presence, that same spirit, is everywhere present. That right now it is revealing itself in the hearts and in the minds and through the hands of every person on this planet. For it is the life of their life. It is the breath of their breath. It is the essence of their spirit. And so today that is being stirred. Something is being stirred within them to step into the light as the light. And that light shines brightly within each one of us. And I speak this word specifically about our world leaders, politicians, decision makers, knowing that they are each led by that same light of intelligence and love and oneness. That spirit within them is active, it is profound, it is moving, and it is revealing itself right now to them. And good is the result of that. And so I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself now. We lean into that. We look to that in faith and in trust and in acceptance. And so we say, and so it is.
And so it is.